Tell me everything.
We're getting into it now.
Yeah, we are.
Really in there. So for this body of work, I was sort of thinking around death and sort of ancestral veneration. So things left behind when one passes, or like spaces to speak about death, or like family members and remembering and histories. So for this one, I'm making a sort of brick smokehouse type structure. Mm-hmm. So like a old meat smokehouse type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the works you can't enter, really.
Right.
But there are these sort of huge structures that you're getting viewpoints into and past. So the smokehouse structure, the level you really do see is above. So you're looking up for this work. There's a sort of cutout door type thing, and you see through that into the window. There's the high level windows,
mm-hmm,
at Flatlands. So it's reading through one of those windows, seen outside through this filter of this smokehouse thing. And the structure is like not a portaloo, but an outhouse type toilet,
mm-hmm,
thing. You know, those outdoor toilets with the rickety sheet metal,
yeah,
roofs,
yeah,
wooden, tiny thing. And that containing some seawater collected from the coast nearby.
Okay.
But yeah, all made from cardboard and shellac.
Okay. And what are the thinking behind the three things? Why have you chosen those three structures?
I think in a way they all sort of like, so the smokehouse for me, it sits, the way the sort of meat hangs from the hooks feels close to hangings. So I'm thinking about sort of like Black histories,
yeah,
through a charring and a darkening of the meat, or just aging. But with the smokehouse, there's an element of aging, there's an element of curing, and there's an element of sort of like letting things mature and fester. So looking, comparing that to like a migration story of ethnically Nigerian or Yoruba, the colonial conversation with Nigeria and Britain,
mm-hmm,
how that's played out and matured. But for me, the work speaks about letting things fester,
mm-hmm,
and mature and sort of like bubble, but not to forget. And then I guess the Waterloo type thing is like, it started off from thinking about just shithouses and the shithouse and like the sea for, I guess, a lot of people, but Black people, as this vehicle for trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, like a unit to share containing seawater.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shit flag. Yeah. How would you do sort of field recordings?
I've just got like a little Zoom. There's like a handheld Zoom recorder. It's got a really nice crosshead stereo recorder. And nice. Yeah, just mock it up. Like, there's quite a lot of harbours near where I am. So I just need to go and find a wooden ship and ask people if I can. Because it's like when the ship moves, it's like the wood rubbing against wood. And the rope rubbing against wood, it's that kind of, it's that sort of sound. So I'm sort of Do you know, I hadn't thought about it being headphones. I just assumed it would be on or off. But actually, having people have, being able to experience it in both ways.
Exactly.
Hadn't even occurred to me.
For me, I was just like, I think it has to be that. Being able to, because it's a contemplative show. So it should, there should be moments of quiet and then moments of, but maybe like chaos internally.
Yeah.
And bringing all of that to the forefront.
Yeah.
And having, like, having the, your work. Because I think a lot of the time when you play sound in a space, it's not as good, or it's like, it's a bit overpowering, or...
It can be. And it's really problematic when you have like bleed and you're in another show and you can hear what's going on next door.
Yeah,
and it
exactly.
completely changes the way you experience the room you're in. Because you're then reading that image with that sound, which is different from reading that image without that sound.
Exactly.
And there's also something very meditative about galleries where they are so quiet. It's almost like going to church and you get into that really deep space. And I think sometimes sound can bring you out of that deep space. And sometimes that's really powerful, and sometimes it's like you don't get that meditation, that moment of connection in the way that you want to, because it's being punctuated by all these, by other noises. Okay, talk me through it.
It's on entry. So into the space, you have like the set of uprooted bollards.
Okay. So they're sort of in your way as soon as you come in.
Yeah. You have to sort of navigate. There's going to be sort of spacing for like wheelchair access and stuff, but that's where you have to navigate.
I was thinking just like a really intimate recording of somebody running and breathing.
Oh, nice.
We're like really close to mic, so it sounds like you're right in, like almost in somebody's body, like they're almost breathing on you, but like running up a street. And then I was thinking that kind of, that brings in the disability thing, because it's like, who's running, who can run? And then it's also, right, talk to me, tell me if this is completely wrong, but I think there's a lot of imagery of specifically black men running, which is linked to images of criminality, but also linked to images of like stereotypes of the black body. And so I was thinking that that running, just somebody running and breathing really heavily, that holds like three ideas in one thing. And the broken bollards is either like it can either be read as you've pushed through the thing that's holding you back, and now you're running, like you're doing really well, like as a symbolic thing, or it could be you've uprooted the bollards and now you're running away from whatever's chasing you.
I like that interpretation. Yeah, it really does.
Because it's all made out of cardboard, so there's that element of... Yeah.
It could disappear.
Yeah. And the I just get images of it being set on fire.
I think for me is why, like, I've been using this orange light or orange tint. Yeah.
Like, I can see your artwork on fire, which, like, lends it another sort of meaning in a way. And I think it also feels a little bit like about erasure, because it's like, there's black artist who's made these beautiful works, but they're made out of cardboard, so they're quite vulnerable. It's not like marble or bronze, right? And then you've put them in a space, and it's that sense of like, are you going to just be burnt, erased, disappeared from history? Or is your voice is it permanent?
Is it still there?
Yeah. And it sort of has those qualities. And is there anything in like you using cardboard? And we talked about before about you using it because it's like a accessible material, and you don't need to be like from a wealthy background to afford to work in cardboard. But is there something about impermanence?
Yeah, it's perishable. Like it's a material that like would disappear left to its own devices. Or like if you leave it in the world, it's gonna degrade.
Yeah.
Easily recyclable. And if it gets wet, it's fucked.
Yeah.
But making this impermanent thing somewhat permanent, or embalming it in a sort of like mummifying type of way. Freezing its time almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I'm here for that.
Cool. Right. Great. It feels like we found the thing, that third thing that we've been scrabbling for.
Yeah, done the thing.
We've found it.